The reading for this second Sunday of Easter is Acts 5, verses 27 through 32. The reading begins. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 150, and it can be found in your insert. And we will read in unison. I'll begin. Hallelujah. Praise God in his holy temple. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with lyre and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The epistle for this second Sunday of Easter is the book of Revelations 1, verses 4 through 8, the lesson begins. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord Jesus. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
the Lord Christ. Well, I keep calendars where I jot things down, keep track of stuff. And I've noticed in the church, I talk to you often about how we have a 3-year lectionary with readings from different Gospels. And around Easter time, we read John. But this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, it doesn't change. It's always the same reading. And I also noticed in looking at my notes, this is my 4th year in a row here on this Sunday. So I went back and started looking at what I had talked about from this reading, because there's so much in this gospel reading. It's just loaded with stuff. And 3 years ago, I talked to you about that part, about what does it mean about retaining sins. What was the answer? No. And then 2 years ago, I talked to you about Jesus using his scars, and how when we get scarred in life, it's not because we've fallen away from God and are being punished. It's another tool that we use in reaching out to the world. Last year I talked about, what was it? Like I said, there's so much in this room. So this year I thought I'm going to talk about something different, just in case somebody remembers. And I was taken up by these collects. I've talked to you about the collects that are in the prayer book, the opening prayers. It's a weird round for collect just because we're Anglicans and wanting to be fussy. It's just the word collect. And it collects. There's supposed to be a little period of silence before it, but we're not real comfortable with silence. Where we all say our open prayer to God, and then the priest says one prayer that gathers all the prayer, collects all the prayers into one. And so that's what that opening collect is. Some of them are quite beautiful. Some of them are a little bit clunky. But this was one of these ones that I just love. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation. That's the first thing to keep in mind, that phrase, Paschal mystery. Then, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Show forth what you profess. So what are we professing? What is that Paschal mystery? Sometimes we like to reduce it down to, well, it's about Jesus died, and so now we have eternal life. When we die, we go to heaven. There was this big controversy some years ago. You know how the press loves to grab onto some little soundbite and run with it? So one of the Anglican bishops, Bishop of Button, was in Oxford. One of the ones in England said something about that Easter is more than a conjuring trick with bones. And I really like that, but boy, with the press grabber. It was that Bishop says Easter conjuring trick with bones. What was the headlines all over the place? which is E 27. But to say that the mystery is, how was Jesus raised? Maybe that's not, maybe the mystery is a little bit deeper than that. Maybe we need to dig a little more than that. What it was God reaching down, that's for sure, making a miracle happen. But there's a miracle beyond that, I think, that can really touch us where we live. I think in maybe all of our lives, but at least most of us, there come periods of time when you wonder, why am I here? Why was I born? When you think, maybe the world would have been better off if I wasn't taking up space and resources. You know those dark times? Kind of haunt you. You wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall asleep, and your mind just wanders to that dark place. And you think, why am I here? Well, that could be considered a mystery. And one that gets answered in this whole Paschal, not just the resurrection, the whole Holy Week events. Because Jesus is saying and showing, not just in word, but what he professes with faith, but in action, that when he let himself be crucified for us, it wasn't because God needed some kind of blood sacrifice to forgive our sin. I know that's what our evangelical brothers and sisters like to say, but that's not really what it's about. That's a free gift God gives us, as Martin Luther taught us so many years ago. But what's there is beyond that, something much deeper. Jesus died because his love for us was so great. He loved us so much that he lived that love to its ultimate consequence, because our world doesn't know how to deal with that much love. What happens to people, even still, what happens to people who proclaim love and nonviolence? What happened to Gandhi? What happened to Martin Luther King Jr.? We're still the same people. We get scared by love. But Jesus was willing to live it all the way to its ultimate consequence. As you heard in the Holy Week, when they were going to arrest him, and Peter cut off the ear of one of the soldiers that they were getting, Jesus reached out and healed that soldier. What love. What love. That's what Jesus lived and sacrificed for. Because the world he believed was worth it. He was doing his work to turn this world into God's kingdom. And then here in our reading today, that he breathed on the disciples then and said, it's now up to you to do that work. You've got a purpose. A powerful purpose. To bring love to this world. To confront the hurt, the anger, all that that is in reality what is sin. Well, you and I are called to be healing agents in this world that needs healing agents. And it's a wonderful task. So if you're laying in your bed thinking, why am I here? What good am I? Well, think about what's your purpose when you get up the next morning. If your purpose is to make more money to put in the bank, to get a fancier title, a newer car, yeah, maybe you do have a shallow purpose.
but at any moment, you can change your life by changing your purpose. By that by using your actions to live out what you profess with your mouth in church on Sundays. That Jesus' way is the way. The way of life, the way of meaning, the way of hope. And it gives meaning to our lives. What an incredible gift Jesus gave to us. That's something to hold on to. And when we talk about mysteries in this life, we then figure out how do we respond. How do we respond? Jesus responded to the challenges of the Roman Empire in his time. You and I are called to respond to the challenges of today. To identify them, to not be afraid to speak up about them, to look and say, where does love need to be applied? And how can I do it? Sometimes it can just be a one-on-one thing with a neighbor you're feuding with. It can be a big national issue that our country is facing. Whatever it is, you and I have been breathed on by Jesus as his disciples and empowered to go out and live out what we profess. That love is what gives meaning to this world. That love is what turns this world into God's kingdom that God originally wanted. It's a big task. We don't do it alone. That's why we have church to prop each other up. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to encourage us, enter us, fill us, and encourage us on. That's that wonderful Paschal mystery. It's deeper even than just a conjuring trick with the bones. It's about why are we here? What am I supposed to do tomorrow? Amen. Our service continues with the Nicene Creed, which you'll find on page 358.